I'd like to ask you to pray with me once more as we prepare our hearts for God's Word. Father, I just humbly ask that you'd speak to us today through your Word and by your Spirit, Lord, that we would truly hear and know what you're saying to us individually, personally, and as a church. And Father, I pray that this morning that once again we would be changed by the living Word of God that is alive and powerful. And Father, I thank you for that, and I pray, Lord, that there would be great fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're in a series called One Another, and it is about learning to truly love one another as the Lord Jesus commanded us. It is about treating each other the way the Scripture tells us to and being the church as He intends it to be. Our relationships with one another and the way we treat each other should be radically different from the way it is in the world. You know, we read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And this is an area, the way that we deal with one another, the way we treat one another, this is an area where we need our minds renewed. We need to be transformed. The difference between our relationships with one another in the body of Christ and what you see around us in the world, it should be radically different. And I think that today's message really speaks to that. The message this morning is simple, but it can be life-changing and church-changing. It is from Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another. All of us have battles and difficulties, tests and trials. All of us go through hard times. You know, life can just kind of knock you around sometime. But whether it is a great battle or it is just the wear and tear of day to day, all of us need someone to be kind to us sometimes. In The Eye of the Storm, Max Lucado tells a story about Chippy the parakeet that was reported in a newspaper. Well, it goes like this. Chippy's owner decided that she would use the vacuum cleaner to clean out Chippy's cage. And so she took the attachment off the end. She stuck the vacuum cleaner hose into the cage, and about that time her phone rang, and of course she grabbed her phone. You phone people. She grabbed her phone, and before she could even say hello, Chippy was sucked into the vacuum cleaner. She dropped her phone and she frantically opened up the vacuum cleaner, and there was Chippy covered in dirt and dust, still alive. So she ran to the bathroom and put him under the bathtub faucet and turned on the cold water and blasted him with the cold water until he was clean again. Then she looked and she saw the little parakeet shivering. And so she grabbed her blow dryer and blew dry him with the hot air. The newspaper reporter that told the story said he went back to check on Chippy's condition to see how he had fared, and she said, "Well, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares." And I have to tell you that from up here, I see that a lot. That there are people that don't sing much anymore. They just sit and stare. But with some kindness, maybe they'll get their song back and start singing again. I'm just telling you, we all need some kindness from time to time. This world can be harsh and hard. Be kind to one another. How we need that. Even our society has acknowledged that there's been different campaigns promoting kindness. I remember a few years ago seeing signs all over town that said kindness matters, and there's also been other campaigns, you know, the random acts of kindness and pay it forward and those kinds of things. But I'm telling you, in the body of Christ, it is more than a campaign. It is a way of life. It's something that we should be living out each and every day of our life, that we are kind to one another. That's the way it's supposed to be. What does it mean to be kind? Well, kind is in part being nice, but it's more than that. It's beyond that, because it is love in action. Each week we've talked about that first message, that as we love one another, then we have to do these things as well. 1 Corinthians 13, the scripture describes what love is like. In verse 4, it says this: love is kind. If we love people, then we are kind to people. It is a simple command to be kind. This is one of the most practical ways that we can love others and live it out. But why do we sometimes have such a hard time being kind? And I think in the last few years, it's just less and less kindness. And it's so easy for us as a church and Christian people sometimes to just be kind of drug along with the culture. And I'm telling you that we're going to have to choose to be different and be what the Word of God tells us instead of what culture says. I think part of the reason that we have a hard time with being kind in our generation is explained to us in Ephesians 4:31. It is the verse right before we read Ephesians 4:32, part of it: be kind to one another. Here's what it says right before: let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He says you got to get this stuff out of your life. Put it away from you. And then he says, and be kind to one another. You see, these attitudes will keep you from being kind. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, all that junk. Listen, it's so prevalent in our society. So much anger. People mad about anything and everything. You see bitter, angry people all around. Some people are angry at just the world. Some are angry at God. They feel like God has been unfair to them. Some people are angry at their spouse because their marriage isn't maybe what they expected it to be. Some people are angry at their parents. Some people are angry at their children. Some are angry at their neighbors, angry at their boss, angry at the government, angry about the traffic, angry at Hollywood, just angry. And in the midst of all the anger, we'll try to eke out a little kindness here and there. No, the scripture is telling us, put it away. Get it out of your heart. Get it out of your life so you can be kind. You can't really be kind when you're full of anger and malice. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. I have to tell you that that is one of the scriptures that I've heard twisted and abused so often because people want to justify their anger, and their malice and hatred. It says, be angry and sin not. And I can tell you this, the Bible also says the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. The wrath of man will not work the righteousness of God. We should be angry over injustice in our world when the strong take advantage of the weak. When people are harmed unfairly, we should be angry about that. But listen to me, be angry and sin not. To do that, we have to have the help of the Holy Spirit so that we keep our anger under control. Because if we let that anger control us, if we let that anger just flow freely, it's sin. It's not kindness. Be angry and sin not. See, even when you're angry, we still are supposed to be loving. We're still supposed to be kind. And so I want to say to you, people full of anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice, they can't be kind. They can't speak kindly to people. They don't even look kind. Got that old scowl on their face. Listen, anger will make you look harsh and hard and old. That ought to be motivation just to that alone. I don't want to look harsh and hard and old. Years ago, there was a cosmetic company that sponsored a promotion in which people were asked to submit letters with a picture of someone that they thought was beautiful. One young boy wrote a letter. As the letters and pictures poured into this company, they got one from a young boy who lived a hard life. He had a bad family situation. His father was raising him alone, and he lived in a bad neighborhood. And he wrote this letter in, and it caught the attention of some of the workers, and so they gave it to the president of the company. And the president read what the boy wrote. He said, "A beautiful woman lives down the street from me. I visit her every Sunday. She makes me feel like the most important kid in the world. We play checkers and she listens to my problems. She understands me, and when I leave, she yells out the door that she's proud of me." And with the picture, he wrote these words, "This picture shows you that she is a beautiful woman." Now the president was intrigued, and so he asked to see the picture. They handed him the picture, and here was a photo of an elderly woman who was smiling with a toothless smile, and her thinning hair was pulled back into a bun, and her wrinkled face was kind of hidden by the twinkle in her eyes. And the president, he says, "Well, we can't use this." He said, "If we use this, everyone will know that you can be beautiful without our products." And I just want to tell you something, that if you are kind to people, they will think you're beautiful. And if you, it doesn't matter how attractive you might be, if you are unkind, let me tell you, meanness, it's just ugly. It's ugly on anybody. And I'm telling you, in the body of Christ, we are to be kind to one another. I want to go back to Ephesians 4:32 again. It says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted." Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. See, we got to get rid of all of the things that make us hard-hearted so we can be kind and tender-hearted. If you're going to be tender-hearted, you got to forgive. There's nothing that will harden your heart more than bitterness and unforgiveness. It'll just make you grumpy and mean. That's the opposite of kind. See, a lot of people feel justified about being grumpy and mean because they've had a lot of things happen to them, and they've been wronged and they've been hurt, and so they feel justified about being grumpy and mean. Life is hard sometimes, and it'll treat you bad, and they feel like they deserve to be grumpy and mean. It'll make your heart hard. You got to let God heal the hurt, soften the heart, so you can be kind. Meanness is so contagious. It spreads from one person to another. Somebody is mean and ugly, and they hurt this person, they do things to them, and that person over time, if they don't forgive, you see, they can get to the place where they're mean and grumpy, and they hurt the next person, and they do things to... Listen, we don't have to be part of that chain. No, we can break that chain by forgiving. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. That's what we have to do. Luke 6, 35 and 36, Jesus says, "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." So we need to get past this. It's easy to be kind to some people. It's easy to be kind to those who are kind to you. Even the world does that. But the Scripture tells us that we are to be kind like our Heavenly Father, who is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Something that we need to take note of too is that He says, "Therefore be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." You see, He relates kindness to mercy. It's tied to mercy here, because to be kind to people requires mercy on our part. You see, because of His great mercies, the Bible tells us that He does not treat us as our sins deserve. So we do not treat people as they deserve, we treat them better than they deserve. That's mercy. That might not be the way the world does it, and it might not be the way some religious people would do it, but it's the way our Heavenly Father did it. And we are partakers of His divine nature. I'm so glad that He does not treat us as our sins deserve, but He shows us mercy. It's only by His kindness and mercy that we are saved. Titus 3, 3 through 5. "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit." Listen, that old lifestyle, malice and hatred and envy, that's not part of our new nature. You see, it is in the kindness and mercy of God that He saved us. He delivered us. And understand this, that when He delivered us through the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, He gave us a new nature so that we also could be kind and be merciful to those that don't deserve it. We're really going to follow our Lord. We cannot just be kind to those that deserve it or those who are kind to us. We have to be kind to everyone. And I'll tell you, if we do that, it's life-changing. It's church-changing. It is culture-changing. Some people are just easy to be kind to. I find it easy to be kind, well, to those that are kind and unassuming. Just a character trait that I happen to like. I find it hard to be kind to rude and pushy people. And I find it extremely hard to be kind to mean people. But maybe they're the ones that need it the worst. I've noticed, generally speaking, people tend to be kind to those who are popular, to those who have money, to those who are attractive, to those who are successful in some area. But for whatever reason, most of us have people in our lives that it's just easier to not be kind to them. And I'm telling you, in our culture, we can fall into a pattern where we're only kind to a handful of people because our culture is so impersonal and isolated. We live in crowded areas a lot of time around a lot of people, but most of them, we don't give them the time of day, much less to be kind to them. And when I say to be kind to everyone, I know that may sound a little impossible. So let me just phrase it this way. Just the ones that you have opportunity. What if you were just kind to the ones you had an opportunity to be kind to? I believe that makes a difference. Do I really have to be kind when I drive? I wish you would. It is amazing. Some Christians get behind the wheel of a car and they turn into this other person. I'm not talking about Jesus either. They don't know what spirit they're of. Like it doesn't matter if I'm a Christian when I drive. Yes, you're even supposed to be kind when you're driving a car. Sometimes I don't want to be kind. Sometimes I want to be annoyed. Like, you know, we all have our little quirks and peeves. When I go into a store, I know what I want. I'm going to find it. I'm going to get it. I don't want a salesperson following me around saying, "Can I help you 4 times? Leave me alone." They're just being nice. Sometimes I'm that way. I tend to be that way about what... Listen, don't look at me with those judgmental eyes. I know I'm getting this more than y'all are. I'm saying, but I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn to be kind. You know, sometimes I've been that way with waiters and waitresses. So my daughter waited tables for a while to teach me better. But, you know, when a waiter comes and takes the order and they just keep coming back and talking, I'm like, "Go away. We'll call you when we need you." And I'm just telling you, sometimes, you know, and I don't know what annoys you, but sometimes it's just easy to not be kind. And that's when we have to make the effort. That's when we have to go out of our way. That's when, you know what, maybe we just need to pray, "Lord, help me to be kind." But be kind to everybody that you have opportunity to be kind to. You just don't know what one little act of kindness might do in somebody's life, how much it might impact them, turn them from destruction, how much it might help them. It might cause them to look up and pray. It might cause them to be kind to somebody else. But you know, if we don't watch ourselves, we judge, whether we realize it or not, we decide who deserves kindness and who doesn't. Now I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, and as I read it, virtually all of us will just go, "Well, that's not me." But I want us to get the principle here. I think there really is something here that we need to see, and I'm going to read it, so don't tune me out. It's James 2, 1 through 4. He says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and you say to the poor man, 'You stand there or sit here at my footstool,' have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" Now, I know there's probably nobody here that's going to own that and say, "Yeah, that's me. I like rich people. I don't care for poor people." But I can tell you that I served on a church staff at one time when the pastor there, he just didn't give the time of day to common workers and people that didn't make a lot of money. And one day, somebody said, "Oh, so-and-so's out in the foyer. He's a doctor. I thought the pastor was going to break his neck trying to get to the foyer. He wanted to meet that man. I don't know if it's because he was a doctor, that meant he had money, or if it's just because he was a doctor. But let me just bring it to where a lot of us live here. You see, what I see is a whole lot more common is that people show attention to the attractive. Maybe the well-dressed, the popular, the successful. They show attention to the person who is very talented, but they disregard the others. And the Bible says you become judges of evil thoughts. And what I'm saying to you is it is not our place. It is wrong for us to show partiality to certain people and not be kind, not show attention to other people. And so we just got to make up our minds. We're going to be kind to those that don't deserve it. He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be kind to your spouse. If you're not kind to your spouse, I'm just going to say it this way, you're not very smart. You're going to reap it quick and long. Be kind to your children. Young people, be kind to your parents. Be kind to your siblings. You see, in the world we live in, they don't do that. They ridicule, they make fun, they criticize. Be different. Be different. I'm telling you, some of those attitudes of malice and just contempt are so deeply rooted, it's going to have to be a heart change. Be kind. Be kind to your teachers, to your coworkers, to your boss. Be kind to people you do business with. Be kind to your brothers and sisters in Christ. One of the most powerful ways that we can be kind is with our words. Words are powerful. Proverbs 31 and 26 says this about the virtuous woman. It says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. We have enough sharp tongues. It comes very easily for me, whether good or bad at times, to be very blunt. And sometimes, even when I don't mean to, I come across harsh, and I'm just telling you that what we need more of in this world is for us to have the law of kindness on our tongue. Kind words can actually change the course of someone's life. It's a story that I've shared a few times over the years, and it's just very appropriate this morning. Author Mary Ann Bird shared a personal story in The Whisper Test. She wrote, I grew up knowing I was different, and I hated it. I was born with a cleft palate, and when I started school, my classmates made it clear how I looked to others, a little girl with a misshapen lip, crooked nose, lopsided teeth, and garbled speech. And when they would ask her what happened to her lip, she said, I would tell them I had fallen and cut my mouth on a piece of glass. Somehow that seemed more acceptable than to say that I was born this way. She was convinced that nobody outside of her family could ever love her. She said that they had a teacher in the second grade that they all adored, Mrs. Leonard. She was short, round, and happy, a sparkling lady. Must have been many years ago, because she said that the teacher gave an annual hearing test. Miss Leonard would have everyone in the class take their turn and stand on the other side of the room and cover each ear one at a time. And she would whisper something and have them repeat it back, like, "The sky is blue," or "Do you have new shoes?" She said, "I waited for those words that God must have put in her mouth, seven words that changed my life." Mrs. Leonard said in her whisper, "I wish you were my little girl." It probably won't surprise you to know that Mary Ann Byrd grew up and became a teacher herself. Words have such power. Mean-spirited words also have power to do damage to someone's soul, much more than sticks and stones. Some comedians have made a career of insulting people, and in our world, making fun of someone or demeaning someone to their face or behind their back, it's almost like a sport. A lot of people admire someone if they have a gift for making somebody else look like a fool. And they say, "Good one. Y'all quiet right now. You know what I'm talking about." It's not just culturally acceptable, it's culturally praised and admired to say unkind things, to ridicule, to demean. We see it all day long, every day, all around us. Whether it's a sitcom or politics, it doesn't matter. And we wonder why there's so much bullying and things that go on in our schools. But we are different, radically different. We are kind to one another. James 4:11 says, "Do not speak evil one of another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law." I think it's unkind to say bad things to someone's face. I think it's even more unkind to do it behind their back when people aren't present. You know what we should do? We should speak kindly of them. Does someone have to remind you to be nice in your conversations? My wife reminds me sometimes. She just says, "Be nice." Shouldn't we be kind? Not just to their face. If you're kind to their face and talk about it behind their back, there's a word for that. It's called a hypocrite. Be kind in what you say about people in all your conversation. We can be kind to others by being generous, by sharing when they have a need. Carmen and I were certainly blessed by your kindness, the love offering for a pastor appreciation. By the way, we're planning on going on a vacation sometime soon. But you can show kindness in many ways. You can find someone who has some kind of a need. You see a need in someone's life, it's always an opportunity to be kind. One person said, "Kindness is just love with its work clothes on." So you find something that you can do for someone, a way to just show them that you care. When Carmen and I first got married, been married less than a year, I was about 23. One day I got this terrible headache, and I had this brilliant idea that, well, I'll just go for a run. And maybe that will help. So I go for a run. When I get back, it's way worse. I mean, I just got into bed and couldn't do anything. My head hurt so bad. I don't know if she called her mother or what. But in a few minutes, Carmen's mother showed up, my mother-in-law. And she came in and she had these rags that she soaked in this ice water and she put them on my forehead. And the whole entire time she was praying in tongues, soaking my head with this cold ice water. About 15 minutes, the headache was gone. Now I want to tell you, when you got a terrible, terrible headache and somebody helps you like that, that's a kindness. And you know what? There's just opportunities around us each day just to help somebody, to be kind to them. We talked last week about bearing each other's burdens. Oh, how we need to do that and be kind to one another. I want to share just one more story with you as an example of kindness. And this one, it's a little close to home for us. The letter was written to Ann Landers, and it said, "Dear Ann, I am a 46-year-old woman, divorced with three grown children. After several months of chemotherapy following a mastectomy for breast cancer, I was starting to put my life back together when the doctor called with the results of my last checkup. They had found more cancer, and I was devastated." She went on to say that her relatives had not really been very supportive. She was the first person in their family to have cancer, and she felt like they treated her like she was contagious. They would call, but they never came by, and it really hurt. But she said in her letter, she said, last Saturday, I headed for the laundromat, and she said, "You see almost the same people there every week, and we make small talk. So I pulled into the parking lot, determined not to be depressed or to be down. But she said, while I was taking my laundry out of the car, I looked up and saw a man, one of the regulars, leaving with his bundle. He smiled and said, 'Good morning, how are you today?' She said, I lost it. She said, I began to cry. I said, I'm having the worst day of my life. The cancer came back. And this stranger put his arms around her and said, I know what you're going through. My wife has been through this. And after he consoled her for a few minutes, she stammered out a thank you and she went on in the laundromat. But in a few minutes, this man came back with his wife. She said the woman didn't say a word, but just walked up and hugged her. And after a few minutes, she told her, I'm here for you. You can talk to me. I know where you are and what you're going through. She said, Ann, I can't tell you how much that meant to me. Here was this total stranger taking her time to give me emotional support and courage to face the future at a time when I was ready to give up. She said, oh, how I hope God gives me a chance to do for someone else what that wonderful woman and her husband did for me. Meanwhile, Ann, please let your readers know that even though there are a lot of hard-hearted people in this world, there are some incredibly generous and loving people too. And I want to tell you, church, we want to be some of those people. We want to be those that are kind. And just like that meanness is contagious, so is the kindness. It can have an impact on your family, your community. Certainly can change our church. I know this is a wonderful, loving church, but we haven't arrived yet. And I just want to see the church culture here be what I see in the Bible. We're kind to one another. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to come. Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is in us to help us, to make us what we need to be. And I just pray that you would make in us a kind-hearted people that truly love one another every day. Father, I pray especially right now for those that are hurting, those that are in a struggle, a battle of some kind. Oh, Father, I pray that they will know they are loved here. And they will find the kindness here that will encourage them and help them to overcome. I pray also, Father, for those that have been through great hurts and wrongs. Lord, where there's bitterness or unforgiveness, I just pray that a healing would take place in their heart, and their heart would just begin to soften in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray this morning that all of us would just come to a realization of the opportunity we have to be kind to someone else, those in our own household, and the stranger that we meet. Help us to do it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, as we close our service, I want to give you an opportunity to come for prayer. And if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to tell you that He is the kindest. He loves you like none other. And He wants the very best for you. You can trust Him with your life. And if you want Jesus in your life, I just encourage you to come when we close this service, to come and let one of these prayer partners pray with you and minister to you. If you're that one that's going through a great battle, a struggle, a hurt right now, come and let a brother or sister pray with you. And maybe there's some who would say, I know that my heart has had too much anger, too much malice, too much evil speaking. See, whatever it might be that's keeping you from really being kind, get it out. Let somebody pray with you this morning. We've all been there. We've all been there. Let somebody pray with you. Get victory over that so you can be kind. However God may be dealing with you, or whatever prayer request you have, as we close our service with a blessing this morning, I encourage you to come for prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.